Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Glamour's podcast, Hey, It's Okay. Today, we have a fantastic special guest, as always. We're going to be talking about everything from really losing your temper to looking absolutely awful in the gym and to secretly thinking, really, that you probably are the best person that you know. Is any of this okay? Hello and welcome, and thank you for joining us for another episode of Glamour, Hey, It's Okay, coming to you live, not live, recorded, we're pretending it's live, from the Glamour podcast cupboard. Today, my special guests are a little new Glamour podcast virgin in our entertainment editor, Helen Whitaker.
Hello.
Fresh from maternity leave. Back into it.
And fired up on yes. The hot topics of the day.
And as an extra special treat, we have somebody who actually knows what they're doing in the realm of broadcasting, particularly radio. It's a BBC presenter, sports presenter extraordinaire, Ms. Gabby Logan.
Hi, thank you very much for having me.
Battled traffic and got here today.
Yeah, and I came a really terrible route. I don't know what I was doing. Sometimes you get a bit daydreamy, don't you, behind the wheel, and then you realise you've taken a wrong right.
In London? No.
No. You see, since I moved out to the country, it's just such a big treat, traffic. I love it. It's, oh, gosh.
I just don't know what you just said.
I'm trying to put a positive spin on it.
And so how's it going, everything in the world of Gabby Logan?
Good, yeah. Very, very good start to the year. Very busy. Lots going on. And, yeah, I'm kind of worried that this year's going to run away with itself because already it seems packed out. You know, last year seemed to be really quick and just move along, motor along. And, you know, especially when you've got kids, you don't want it to go so quickly.
And also when you present literally every sports television show on the BBC. Well, that must get really, really tiring.
Not every, but quite a few and quite a lot of weekends.
What's your favourite? Are you allowed to say?
I don't think I have I suppose Sports Personality is a really great show to do because it's a massive live show. End of the year, well, they're all live, but a massive show at the end of the year with 10,000 people in the arena. And, you know, we don't always get to see the audience because obviously at live sports events, we tend to be broadcasting in a broom cupboard like this at a sports ground. So I feel very at home, actually.
Well, we've actually upgraded. It used to be like literally the hat, you know, like the broom cupboard.
Oh, well, this has got some light, which is lovely. Yeah. But no, live sport is amazing because you never know what's going to happen. So things from the Olympics to the Six Nations rugby or Match of the Day. Match of the Day, you know what's going to happen because Match of the Day's the football's happened. So that's the only one that's a little bit more formulaic. But radio as well, I love to do. So I like the variety.
I think, yeah, I was just looking through all of your shows and I thought if we list everything that Gabby does, that'll be it. That'll be the end of the podcast. But how do you find time to do everything?
It's just a juggle, isn't it, all the time? And it's just that, you know what it's like. You have to just plan, be quite organised. My husband would say I'm ridiculously organised. I like my Sunday night blackboard, which I redo the blackboard for the week. Everybody knows what they're doing, where they're going. And occasionally I'll say to my husband, because our kids are 11, oh my gosh, we've done 11 years of this, you know, this kind of moving them around from A to B and getting them fed and everything. And they're still alive and they're doing okay.
She's a type A, Helen. I'm the type sort of let's just muddle through and just do whatever anyone's yelling at me to do.
Exactly. As soon as you mentioned the blackboard, blackboard. I was like, you have a blackboard.
It's, without it, I think we'd all disappear and their kids wouldn't know what's going on. And they'll say things to me like, but it was on the blackboard, Mum. And so now of, you know, I have to live up to it. But actually, they're really, but everybody kind of is very supportive because everybody wants to do what they want to do. So my daughter wants to ride as much as she can. So she knows that she has to help me, you know, do X if she wants to do that. And my son's busy with his stuff. And luckily, you know, my husband and I haven't got normal lives in the sense we don't do 9-to-5 jobs, so we can kind of dovetail and try and work things out. So if I'm working weekends, he's in charge of getting kids to sports events, which seems to be what weekends are about now.
Sorry, Gabby, could you just get a little further to the microphone?
Okay, yeah. Okay. So weekends nowadays tend to be being taxis, basically. So sometimes it's easier to work at the weekend than drive the taxi to get the kids from A to B.
Well, I've only got one child. But even I sort of struggle with the daily, just even like packing a swim bag seems beyond me sometimes. I always manage to leave one thing at home. And I remember there was the great day that I walked down to the train station after taking her to school. And then I got the call from the school saying, you've got, and I realised I had her swimming bag in my hand and I just walked back down the road. And I actually said a very, very, very rude word at the top of my voice on the train station platform and then ran back up to the school.
Can I make you feel better by topping that with the day where the blackboard obviously failed, because I'm walking the kids to school and they were about 6 at the time when we lived in London. And I was thinking, gosh, it's very quiet this morning. I can't see any other families out and about. What are they all, you know, nobody's here. Why are they not walking at this time of the day? And we get to school and it's still very quiet, and now I'm getting this terrible feeling that I actually have got back to school on the wrong day. The cleaner opened the door to the school and she said, do you want to speak to the secretary? There are no teachers here. We're not back till tomorrow. And the kids just burst out laughing. It was hilarious. I had a radio show to do, a live radio show for Five Live in about 2 hours' time. So panic stations, kind of working out what the kids were going to do. But, you know, I think you need those moments as well.
It's that damn blackboard, man.
Yeah.
Blackboard fail.
That blackboard really phoned it in that day.
The school diary said something like 18th of April. And what they meant was that's the last day of the holiday. I took that to be the first day of the holiday. Come on,
yeah.
Let's be straight with your
work
terms
with
here.
Me, people. Yeah. So, Gabby, do you take a dim view of women like me who know literally nothing about football?
No, because I think, you know, we've all, football is the national kind of sport and it dominates, you know, sadly, really, it dominates the front pages and the back pages quite often because other sports, you know, should get a look in and they do occasionally in the likes of rugby and cricket, and then women's sport is starting to get a bit more of a look in.
Oh, yay, women.
Yeah.
Half a page.
10% of all kind of broadcasting coverage in the last year or so, and that was only because of the Olympics probably. And so understandably, you know, not everybody's going to like football, although the way it's broadcast you think that everybody did like football, and actually the viewing figures for things like Match of the Day say that a lot of people do like watching it, and actually a lot of women like watching Match of the Day. Mm-hmm. So there, you know, it's not a completely exclusive male domain by any stretch of the imagination, but you know, I would never, in the same way that, you know, you'd never go up to somebody who was, say, a brain surgeon and go, oh my god, I don't have a clue what you're doing, which I don't. And obviously could be very rude to them and say, I'm not interested. But at the same time, I always find that people find that they have common ground with you in other ways, you know. Mm. So it's not just about knowing the rules of football. I think, to me, sport is about passion, it's about intensity, it's about hard work, achieving your ends. You know, there's a lot more to it.
And so tell me, you're currently getting together a campaign, right? You're sort of like trying to galvanize more people to get into sport.
The thing that, well, it's not so much, yeah, sport, but not for sport's sake. You know, this is not about getting the next Olympic medalist, because we have really good talent ID campaigns that are clearly working. We're smashing records every time we go into Olympic Games in the last few cycles. It's about stemming the tide of childhood obesity. We're now getting kids reaching 1/3 of kids with obesity, and obviously huge problems with adults. And I think we've lost a generation almost in terms of the health messages. So we've got to get into primary school kids, because often they're coming from families where there isn't a DNA of activity, and they need to become active children and to learn about what they're putting in their bodies and what they're doing. And it's not about, even body image comes later in a way, doesn't it, and what you can do with your body comes a bit later. It's actually just being really healthy and living the, you know, to your potential. Because if you get to 15 and you've got obesity and you're starting to get the health problems that come with that, the mental health problems that come with that, you're never going to reach your potential. And I can't see a negative or a converse argument to this at all as a society, because we're only going to produce people who are more capable. They're going to pay tax, they're not going to be a drain on the NHS. There's absolutely no way government could ever argue against having a healthier childhood, basically, you know. So and I, you know, I know sport gave me so much in my life. I was a gymnast and I love sport, but it's not about everybody being competitive in sport by any stretch of the imagination. It's just about being healthy and living a healthy life.
I think if you get into any sort of physical activity just for fun, like most of my memories of being a kid are riding down a really big hill on my bike with my jacket tied around my neck pretending to be Superman, or just things that are sort of outdoorsy but no one's going to get a prize for it. It's just fun, climbing a tree, jumping off the porch. Probably shouldn't have done that one, but that kind of thing.
Absolutely, and it's about health, yeah. So, and enjoyment. And I'll obviously, some people are going to ride down that hill with the bike and think, I could be Victoria Pendleton. Mm. But other people are just going to carry on riding the bike and enjoy it. And so for me, this is about that first person, you know, just enjoying health and activity for its own sake.
But how do you, because yes, I have similar memories. I could stick my BMX bike over a huge mouth of a creek right near my sort of like countrified house near Sydney. But when I think of school sport, it was an absolute nightmare. And I lost my confidence very, very quickly. I think I was probably the opposite of what you're talking about. I started out with a lot of confidence as a kid and it got drained away very quickly when I couldn't throw the furthest. And, you know, people used to fight over not having me on their softball team, you know. And so how do you convince children who are, you know, for me, I was quite traumatized by sport when I was a kid. And it's not necessarily even that the school doesn't want to invest in it, but maybe the kid doesn't want to do it.
I think the way sport is taught in school is really important. How and that those messages come across, and in making it fun and playful, and not always. I don't agree with getting rid of competitive sport in school because life is tough, and you've got to, you know, sometimes there'll be winners, sometimes there'll be losers.
And I think for some people that's where they did shine. Yeah. So I get that.
Well, but, I always say my son, who's a good sportsman. This one family were kind of laughing at the fact that he had five firsts on his top at sports day, and I said, listen, this is his one day. For 3, 6, 4, your kids are playing the violin, coming first in English, you know, this is his one day. And that's why it's important to me. It is where some people get their self-esteem. However, it shouldn't mean that every other child who does it feels that they're, you know, they're not going to bother because actually they can't come first. So there are ways, I think, of teaching sport to be enjoyable for girls. You know, as they hit puberty, it's about fitness, and that might come in the shape of a Zumba class at school. It might come in the shape of, you know, of just a group that aren't particularly sporty being encouraged to jog together or to do something that they enjoy together. So I think it's a mindset as well.
How about this? What about the government issues capes for everybody to wear while riding their bike? Exactly. That would certainly get my attention. We're going to talk about something that's very close to my heart, and I probably should be ashamed of this, but is it okay, Gabby Logan, Helen Whittaker, to ever lose your temper? And I think, I know that we're supposed to say that it's not okay, but we all do it, right? Or is it, it's not just me, is it?
No, we all do it.
Yeah.
This was brought home to me when a really close friend of mine, who is just sunshine and light itself and the most positive, wonderful, patient, sort of like earth mother type I know. And I happened to be walking down my high street and saw her absolutely in the face of a guy, like screaming at him because he'd cut her up on the road. She'd actually got out of her car and was making a spectacle of herself. And she absolutely, she still dies that we saw this, me and my husband.
And now we're talking about it.
Hi, Sue. It just made me so happy that the person I the least ever expected to do something like that did it. And that made me feel better.
So her temper loss made you feel better?
Yeah. So, I mean, I just thought if she is driven to that point,
yeah,
then maybe it isn't abnormal as I think.
I just don't think it's natural to never, ever lose your temper. That would feel like you actually, if you haven't got that range of emotion to go, and of course we all know it's not cool and we feel bad about it afterwards, or we should do if we're not psychopathic. But actually to not have that range of emotions means you can't go the other way, you know, and you can't have complete euphoria and delight in something as well, I feel.
Yeah, definitely. I also think people who don't ever lose their temper openly, if you listen to their inner monologue, Peep Show style, it would just be rage and seething at the world.
Yes,
so inside, see, they're probably a massive rage.
I do think I will live longer because, you know, I'm not swallowing it.
No.
Well, you know, when you have a child, you do swallow a lot of, sort of, you know, you have to have a lot more patience. But I think the worst one ever was a washing machine man after torturing me for weeks about saying he was coming around and then he wasn't coming around. And then he actually, when he did come around, he fitted my washing machine just by putting a pump in and then putting it together with sticky tape. which obviously that didn't go well.
Yeah.
So when I finally, this was it, and I did say the F word to him on the phone, and then he hung up on me and said, when I phoned him back, I said, well, I'm not going to engage with you if you're going to swear. And I was like, you've put me through at least 4 weeks of torture, but it's not okay when I've been taken to breaking point. I don't know.
Yeah, it's
be the judge and jury.
Yeah, well, I feel slightly more self-conscious about it. It's one thing losing my temper with my kids, which I know isn't cool, but happens. But I remember once I was going on a day trip to Leeds, and I was going for work, but also taking my granny out for her birthday, and they lost my bag. I had to check a bag on because we were going out for dinner that night. And it ended up 4 weeks later coming back from, it had been to Milan, it had been to Rome. This was a day trip to Leeds. And so the guy said, oh, I think we'll bring it around tonight. And similar to you, I did lose it a little bit with him. A few years later, my PA was ringing up the same airline to book a flight. And the guy put the phone up said, a few years ago, she got very cross with me and I can't watch football in the same way anymore. So it's quite hard when people know your name. And that's, you have to be quite careful.
If you yell at someone in the street, it's going to end up in the Daily Mail. Yeah. I can kind of do it and get on with my day.
But then sometimes if you manage to rein it in, it does benefit you in the end as well. I had a situation where I parked in a car park in my parents' town centre, which when I got back to the car park to pay, it only took change, not cards, not notes. So I had a note.
Let alone Ringo.
Yeah, exactly.
See, I'm annoyed already.
I know. Well, that's the thing. So I was I had the baby with me and I was like, I have to get out. I've got to get home. Got to feed him. And I pressed the button on the side and the man said, come down, park in the emergency space. So I did all this, got to the emergency space. It was miles away from the office. So I'm like, right, got the baby out of the back seat and I was storming towards this office. Like, we have to go, we have to go. And all of a sudden this voice came over. And I think when I actually rang originally, I said, hello, I'm not sure what to do. I haven't got any change. And tried not to lose my rag with him because it's obviously not his fault. And I heard this voice come over going, oh, don't worry, love. I'll put the barrier up. I can see you with the baby. And he let me go. And I think if I'd shouted and lost my temper to start with, he probably would have been like...
But it's the loss of power. And there is something even worse, I hate to say, about being a woman and losing your temper, because then everybody just goes straight to, oh, she's hysterical. Oh, she's screechy. And I hate losing that power. Mm. But every now and again, I sort of, I cause a mini hurricane to look behind me and go, well, who did that? it's like an out of body experience.
I think it is, as a woman though, as well, it is important that you don't just hold stuff in when you're feeling very upset about something because you're a woman, you know. I think you have a right in it, especially in a work situation. I'm not talking about losing your temper in the office, but to speak out about something. Because like you say, you know, you can see people holding stuff in. You think, no, this is the time for you to speak up and say that you're not happy about this, because you'll never get the chance again. So it's that balance. And obviously it comes with, you know, age, you get a little bit more wisdom perhaps too, because you hark back to those memories of when you've lost your temper in the past. That didn't end so well. I'm just going to do this a different way now.
I've managed to, it's a physical strain sometimes, that I've managed to keep the swearing out of it, because I've had people just use that as an excuse.
Yes.
Even if you've got a legitimate complaint.
I'm literally clenching my buttocks right now thinking about previous times where I just lost it a bit too much. So yeah, I am learning.
So how do you know though when you need the Naomi Campbell school of anger management? You know, it's like, how do you, I don't know. It's,
I think when the phone bounces off someone's head, that's when you realize you might have a problem.
I always think there's this Louis C.K., the American comedian, who said if you meet one asshole in a day, you've met an asshole. If you meet assholes all day, every day, you're the asshole. And I always try to keep that in mind when I'm sort of like getting cross with people.
Yeah, I do have a friend who does a lot of moaning. She does a lot of moaning about people, and people never seem to be doing the right thing. And I'm now beginning to think, okay, you might have to have a look. Have you ever thought it might be you who's causing a few of these situations?
Do you think she's going to be listening now?
I don't know. She won't recognize it. She won't recognize it anyway. But I'm not brave enough to tell her.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Gabby, this is going to be right up your street, I'm sure. I bet you're a real gym bunny, right?
I like exercise, but I'm not actually a member of a gym. I go to classes at various places and I work out with various people and I do different things, but I did join a local kind of municipal gym in the summer because I wanted to access to a running machine, and that was my first experience of a gym for a while, and they are such interesting places full of all kinds of behavioural anomalies.
And do you wear your most expensive Lululemon leggings with your just beautifully coordinated little crop top and your swingy ponytail?
You've got the wrong girl. No, so I'm still wearing this one t-shirt I love, which I pointed out to the guy. I trained with this fantastic ex-rugby player and we do weights together, and I said to him last week, I think I've had this t-shirt 20 years, but I love it so much. It's an old vintage Nike t-shirt. And amazingly, it doesn't smell. It's fine. But I said
maybe
to,
you just can't smell it. Maybe you're just immune.
Yeah. But I do love, if I get a nice pair of like running tights or something that I really love, then I will buy a few pairs of them because I'm not a faddy kind of, you know, kit person. But what I did say to myself a few years, I gave myself a little bit of slack. You work out a lot. You train 5 times a week. You actually should be spending a bit of money on this stuff. It's
I can't bear it.
But it's a bit like pajamas, you know, like, and, or night. Where you know you spend half your life in it, why is it the bottom of the list in terms of stuff that you would never spend any money on?
So if you haven't guessed, listeners, we are talking about, is it okay to look absolutely horrendous at the gym? And I'm sure you never do, but I know if I turned up in, you know, the sort of like the gym bunny attire, the gym where I go to, because I've been a member of that gym for many, many years, they'd all fall about laughing because I'm the one who comes in the holy t-shirts, unironed, the sort of like the yoga pants that are slightly too short.
Don't you think, though, as well, it's a bit like people whose wellies have never had mud on. If I see somebody in the gym who's got like the matching bra top pants, even the zip up that matches, I'm not sure they're going to know what they're doing.
There's definitely the people who, let's just say, they don't need a shower after their hour in the gym. You know, there's definitely those who I see them, you know, I need a full reconstruction. And then there's always the woman who, in 2 seconds, she just sticks a jacket on over her little lycra top and out she goes.
Done anything?
Has no, she done anything? Absolutely not, except floated with her trainer.
The best place in the world for this, and where I thought I was going to be completely intimidated, was Brazil. I was there for the World Cup in 2014, and I stayed in the same hotel as the England football team. So the gym was below the hotel. Sometimes the England players would come down. And I first went in with great trepidation, thinking, this is Brazil, home of the body beautiful. This is going to be a nightmare. Quite frankly, there wasn't one person in there who ever looked like they burnt more than 3 calories in an hour, because they were all, basically they wandered around, showed each other the latest plastic surgery, and literally had a woman pull her top up and show a bloke her new breasts.
Wow.
A woman, I've never seen this before in a gym in my life, a woman who was on a bike machine who had a China cup and saucer brought over to her with a cup of tea in it by the gym instructor.
I am going to be having a word with gym.
It was the most incredible people watching place ever. There was no working out to be done anywhere, to the point where I went into a studio because I wanted to do some circuits. And they came to the window and started watching me, because I don't think anybody had actually done any work in the studio ever. So they came around, the guy who's the instructor, in inverted commas, said, "What are you doing? What are you doing?
We thought that bike was to hang to dry our clothes on, like it is at my house.
A phenomenal place. Yeah. And the women looked incredible in terms of their attire, but there was no working out.
So how did they look incredible? Is it all surgery?
A lot of surgery. I mean, when I say looked incredible, they looked incredible in terms of their clothing. They didn't look fit anymore.
Right.
But there was lots of surgery, and it was quite an affluent area. So I think maybe if I'd gone a bit further down the street to the Favelas, maybe the real hardcore gyms, like the spit and sawdust kind of gyms, would have had a bit more working out going on.
But what's amusing me is how quiet Helen's being right now.
Well, I'm the total opposite to Gabby, and I'm more with you, Joe. First of all, don't want to spend money on clothes I'm buying to sweat in. I'd rather spend money on clothes that I get to go out in, or, you know.
How long or how many hours a week would you say you spend in those clothes, though?
Well, it kind of depends. I used to be a member of a gym. Now I'm more a yoga class person, but I definitely don't have the...
But great yoga wear now. You can keep it going all day, can't you? Yeah, you do yoga class and you can find yourself at 5 o'clock if you've not had to go do anything formal.
A lot of these clothes, I got given a very nice sort of like Lycra tight-fitting t-shirt. And it was all the really latest technology. You know, it absorbed all your sweat. So it looked great at the end of, you know, not like the saturated things that I've got. And then I found on the lining of it, it said, running is my... stitched all around it.
And you've been walking around with that on you all day.
Yeah, and I developed an allergy. I just can't be doing with it. So back on goes the, you know, my husband's conference t-shirt from Barcelona 1992.
Most of my vests, I have to say, are black. Black is the new black. Because it
doesn't show the sweat.
Plus, I'm not really someone who would wear sportswear for the rest of the day. If I would wear it to exercise in, then I'd change into my jeans or whatever. So... Yeah, it's not.
It's funny, it's definitely a school gate thing I've noticed.
I was just about to say, the swishy ponytail gang.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. There is a whole, I would say 50% of the women at the school gate these days are looking like they've either come from or about to go to a serious workout.
But we all know they're going to Gales for a coffee and a latte. We all know they are, yeah.
Also, I just think I want an hour off from having to think about what I look like, so I'd rather just put my leggings and my old t-shirt
comfort,
on.
To be honest,
yeah,
comfort is for me the key. I won't wear a bra top that I can feel. I don't want to wear leggings that dig in anywhere, as long as I'm comfy.
Yeah, I think what I enjoy is on the odd time I do have a conversation with somebody in the gym and it comes up, then I'm the editor of Glamour, there's always a pause.
Really?
Because there I am in my crushed sort of like holy yellow stained t-shirt from 1992.
I always like it, Joe, when I see people dressed like that. I'm not going to say you, because I can't believe you're really in that.
It's
kind
true.
Of attire. But I always like it when they actually turn out to be quite fit, you know, because it's always a bit of a surprise, you know, when you see them pumping it out with the iron or they're on the treadmill and they're really pushing it. So I think it's quite a nice juxtaposition.
There you go.
Yeah.
Look as awful as you want in the gym, people.
Just do it. Just
We've
do
decided.
It. Oh, is that a slogan? Yeah. Somebody's already come up with that, haven't they?
Well, just you're it. In the gym. That's the main thing. Wear what you want.
If you've been enjoying listening to Glamour, Hey, It's Okay, we would definitely urge you to subscribe to us on iTunes, search Glamour, Hey, It's Okay. And please, if you're loving what you're hearing, leave a review. Even if you don't like it, we're absolutely loving your reviews and our favourite ones will get a prize. This one will probably get us into a lot of trouble. Is it okay to secretly, sort of slightly suspect that you might be the best person that you know? Do you know what I mean? I think that it's where I'm coming from with this is I always joke, I'm one of four siblings and I'm the oldest, and I always joke to my mother that, yeah, but I was the best one and you should have stopped after me. And occasionally I've got her to agree with me. Sorry, the rest of my siblings. But it's like, I think that as much as we all deride this so-called millennial generation for walking around with a sense of entitlement and feeling like, you know, they shouldn't have to work, or we should just put them to the top of the class, give them the gold star, give them the biggest job. Maybe there's a benefit in walking around with that slightly big-headed attitude.
I think there's a difference, isn't there, between self-confidence and arrogance.
You know, and that's a very fine line, though, isn't
it? It is, and you've got to. I think, you know, as a parent, your job is to keep your child on the right side of that, and not. But I also grew up with a mum who would, in, you know, shamelessly kind of see other people's weakness as a stepping stone for greater success. You know, she'd say, "Well, the more people like that around, sweetheart, the more chance for you to shine." Because I'd moan about
otherwise
somebody.
There's just going to be no hope unless everybody else is a bit crap.
Just don't worry about the rubbish people. And so I think she did give us all a lot of confidence about go and achieve, do what you want to do, put the work in, and you know, and so. From one perspective, she was right about, you know, that. But I do think there's also, you've got to watch out for other people along the way, haven't you? So it's not overlooking somebody who you might be with, somebody really brilliant, but they're a bit quiet. And if you never find out a little bit more about them, you kind of miss out on that opportunity. Yeah. That's the thing that I think I've probably grown into as I got older.
I mean, I don't think I'm the best one. Not really. But I do think that you kind of have to channel a bit of that mindset if you're going for a job or you're getting up
Definitely.
And doing presenting or, you know, your job's highly competitive, sort of like, you know, broadcast media. I think if you don't put yourself center stage and make yourself focus on, I want to get that, I want to be that person, then I don't know how you get ahead.
I think the difference what you said there is it's quite specific, isn't it? So definitely, I I say to myself all the time about how can I get better at what I do and what are the things that I've learned that make, you know, can make me stand out a bit more and give me the skill set. But at the same time, that's just very specific to work. So there are other areas of your life where you're definitely not going to be the best person. You know,
yeah.
I'm not the, you know, could I be kinder? Can I be nicer to my, you know, my siblings or my parents? Or could I be, you know, all those things. I think it's, but what you say, I think is true in terms of ambition for work,
yeah,
and your career. I don't think it's a bad thing,
no,
to
definitely
have that in your mind.
I think women especially sometimes don't shout about how good they are at something because it's seen as sort of unappealing to be ambitious or to tell people how
very
great
true
you are.
Yeah.
And I think even if maybe you're not the best at that specific thing, you can be the best at selling yourself to do it. I mean, there's people like Victoria Beckham have said in the Spice Girls when she was auditioning and things, she wasn't the best at singing, she wasn't the best at dancing, but she was the best at getting out there and going for it. So that's worthy in itself, I think. So you can be the best at something. You can't be the best at everything. I mean, that person would be
and
awful.
Also, a lot of these areas are a little bit subjective, aren't they, anyway? So how are you going to judge what, you know, that's one person's genius singer is the next person's, you know, sounds like a cat screeching. So everybody's got their own, and that wasn't directed at the Spice Girls, by the way, at all. But everybody's got, who are phenomenal, everybody's got their own opinion on those kind of things. So if you don't believe in you, there's going to be a percentage of people who, you know, might also be slightly doubtful. I did stand-up comedy for Comic Relief, and I had to do a gig in front of, oops, have I stood on the microphone there? A gig in front of 500 people at the Bloomsbury Theatre. And along the way, Paddy Keelty was my mentor, and he took me to this little spit and sawdust pub in Kingston-upon-Thames where a lot of famous comics go to test their material. And the reason they go there is there's only 25 people in the room.
Oh, gross. Oh. I'd rather have 2,000 in that.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Yeah.
Well,
because you can see the faces.
Well, also, it's a percentage game. Like he said, if you can make half of 1,000 auditorium laugh, that's a lot of laughter. If you can make a quarter of them laugh, that's 250 people. If you can make a quarter of this room laugh, that's still only 7 people who are going to be laughing in this room. So, you know, so it's a real test of the material to do that. So it is in a way, it's a numbers game, isn't it?
Yeah.
That you kind of, you know, you have to think, right, I'm going to have to...
What sort of a mindset do you think has stood you apart in your career, Gabby? I mean, you've really famously, you must get so tired of answering these questions, but you have conquered a male-dominated field. Where do you begin with that? What was your mindset when you were starting out?
Genuinely, Joe, I think at the very beginning, I didn't see that. You know, I didn't. And then I started being asked those questions and started to have to think about the fact that I was a woman in a man's world. But I think at the beginning, if I'd set out thinking that, I might have found it, the barriers a little bit higher or the walls a bit tougher to break down. So at the beginning, it wasn't there. And for me, in my mindset, clearly was for other people, you know, and I'd read people writing things about me in newspapers that reminded me I was a woman, you know, that I'd, not that I'd forgotten, I was always very proud to be a woman, but I didn't see myself, the skill set being any different to my male colleagues. So, and there have been times where it's been shaken and been a little bit harder because I think when you start a family, suddenly you become a different person, actually, and your femininity is never more focused at that point. And so your ability to do your job should be no different. But suddenly I doubted myself in ways that I had never doubted myself before, which was really weird, and yet felt really empowered that I was able to have a family and do my job. So I think, you know, the answer to every career success for anybody in any career is hard work, tenacity, and, you know, being very focused at what you want to do and achieve, and adaptable as well.
I think definitely for me at the beginning there was definitely a bit of arrogance. There was definitely a bit of like naive that I could just go to England and do this. So as much as I kind of look back and think I was probably a bit overconfident and thought I was the best one, it got me on a plane.
Incredible enthusiasm for what you're doing.
Yeah, and hard work.
A little bit of arrogance. Arrogance is always such a word loaded, isn't it, with all kinds of negative connotations.
Yeah, and I always almost apologise while saying it, but it is definitely true in my
super
case.
Super self-confidence, I think.
Yeah. But it also worked. You're the boss. You're the editor.
I stood on everybody all the way there. Gabby, it's been very enlightening having you on today. Thank you so much. I've learned all sorts of things, particularly about chalkboards. I'm going to get one of those. That's going to change my life.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been great. It's been lovely to chat to you.
Where are we seeing you next popping up?
Oh, I've got lots of Match of the Days and Six Nations Rugby's coming and loads of athletics. Big year for athletics because there's no Olympic Games this summer. There's no World Cup, but there is the World Athletics Championships in London. So I think that's going to be a great event back in the Olympic Stadium. So a lot of live sport on the way.
Excellent stuff. Thank you to you, and thank you, Helen Whitaker.
Thank you for having me.
Nice to meet you, Helen. Good luck.
Thanks.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.